The French Open started yesterday. They play the first round over 3 days. The men's seeds are so far managing to get through with no trouble at all. It's different. There's a kind of chaos already in the women's seeding. The defending champion, Barbora Krejcikova, is out, beaten in the first round, but she has been out with injury for quite a long time. Garbiñ Muguruza is out. Naomi Osaka is out. And yesterday, Corey Goff was out. After Paris, it is the turn of the grass season, and there are various tournaments played at places like Halle and Edgbaston and various others, and then there's the big one, Wimbledon. And the Grand Slams are not under the control of the WTA, the Women's Association, and the Men's Association, so they can make up their own rules. And Wimbledon decided that they would not allow any Russian or Belarusian players to participate. The WTA and the men's tour, the ATP, said we're going to have to think about this. And over the weekend, they gave us the results of their thought. And they did what they had threatened to do, which is take away the ranking points from Wimbledon. So whatever points you were defending, you lose without the opportunity to gain any, which means that even if Novak Djokovic wins Wimbledon, he will no longer be the world number one because he's defending 2,000 points. Those 2,000 points slip away from his tally, which means that somebody's automatically promoted above him. We're joined via Zoom from London by broadcaster and journalist Derek Lord. Derek, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You don't think that the ATP and the WTA have done the right thing?
I think the ATP and the WTA have shown that they're morally bankrupt. My piece in the Daily Maverick is not layered in complexity. It is a very straightforward argument. Most of us would regard it as our personal duty to help fellow men and women. We regard the lives of children in precious trust. We take up arms to defend freedom, and we have a universally shared notion of moral rights, obligations, and duties. What the ATP have done and the WTA have done is basically in one full sweep swept that aside. It is giving protected ranking status to a handful of Belarusian players and Russian players that compete on the professional tour and are effectively penalizing people who do not come from rogue states, who do not break international law, and withdrawing ranking points in arguably the most important, historically speaking, Grand Slam of the year. How can that be right?
Yeah, you see, I don't have your certainty on this, Derek. This is one of those issues where I found it really difficult to come to a coherent position, which I just stick to, because I don't know. Is Wimbledon correct to ban them? Is the ATP correct to allow them to play as long as they don't play under the flag of the country of which they are a citizen? I can see the arguments for both sides on these issues.
Well, there are different ways of taking a stand, but silence is complicity. And my other argument in all this, which I think must be at the foreground, is that it's not, for example, Daniel Medvedev's fault that Russia decided to invade the Ukraine, but every single one of us will agree that the greater good is more important than any one individual. The greater good is that we all honour international law. The Russians do not. Belarus does not. Neither of these countries have fully functioning democratic systems that you or I would recognize as legitimate. They do not have parliaments that are accountable. They do not have free and fair general elections. It's about time the international community stopped putting their arms around these rogue states. And it is a shameful thing, in my view, that the ATP and the WTA have done exactly that.
But what about the presence of Daniil Medvedev or Arina Sabalenka at Wimbledon? Wimbledon's position has been that it's following the government's approach, the British government's approach on this, and that if they were allowed to play and if they did well, and there's a very realistic possibility that Daniil Medvedev would get through to the final, maybe even B2E got to the final, that Russia would make propaganda value out of that. So by allowing them to play, you're giving Russia and Belarus an opportunity for propaganda. And what about, people say, then asking Medvedev and asking Andrei Rublev and asking the other players from those two countries, please make a statement saying that you are against the war. Wimbledon's response to that is, but that puts their families and friends back in Russia at risk, and it is a very real risk. So with all of that grayness, how does one come to a definitive position? They must be allowed to play or they must not be allowed to play. If they play, they must not get ranking points. It's absolutely right that they play and they must get ranking points as well. You know, I just don't see where the occasion is for certainty.
Well, I think that this is where those of us in the West that are used to functioning in fully mature democracies do what great philosophers do. They ask ethical and moral questions and they discuss it in great detail and don't usually come down on one side or the one side of the argument or the other. But I think it's very straightforward in this case. People are being murdered in the Ukraine. The international community has no alternative but to stand together. And that therefore means that people like Daniil Medvedev and others from Belarus, Russia, or indeed any other state supporting the illegal invasion of Iraq should, I'm afraid, be penalized for doing so. Because you cannot negotiate with terrorists, and you cannot allow the way in which Russia has behaved to go unpunished. Now, I think it's more of a danger to ask people to make declarations against the invasion. It's much easier to say they should not be allowed to participate, and it doesn't affect the many hundreds of other people that do not come from rogue states, that have got nothing to do with the invasion of the Ukraine, from participating in this year's Wimbledon tournament and getting ranking points for doing so.
Derek, thank you very, very much indeed for chatting to us. Broadcaster and journalist, Derek Lord.